Good evening, everybody. All righty. So last time I was up, we finished the last of my series of first of alls. So that was the alpha segment of a study. So we're going to begin the omega study tonight. And it's going to deal with passages that use terminology finally. So we had first of all. Now we're going to look at the six passages in the New Testament that start with finally. So that's what we're going to be working on in the future when I get in front of you, Lord willing. And tonight, kind of like what we did when we started the first of alls, we started with a passage out of 1 Timothy 2. And tonight we're going to, and it was about prayer. So tonight we're going to look at the passage in 2 Thessalonians 3 that deals with prayer. And this will be near and dear to Lorenzo's heart, because this is a request he makes virtually every Wednesday evening when we open up the request for prayers. This is the passage that he refers to, if you've been here on Wednesday nights. I know many of you have. Those of you that may be listening online and have with frequency, you'll know he cites this as a request of his. Weekly. So we're going to read the first three verses of this chapter, and then we'll break this down. And again, this will be finally part one. Finally part one. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. And that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith, or the faith. That's literally what it says in the Greek, the faith. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? We are thankful, Lord, that we can come before you in your throne of grace and mercy. And we know that you are there, that and available in a time of need to help. So I look at tonight's passage and I think about how often we need to come before your throne of grace and petition you for help. And it has a lot to do with just offering up our prayers for your purpose and the one that you've entrusted to us in this, our generation, to be executed to your glory. So Lord, this passage rings true ever more so even today as it did when it was first penned by your faithful servant, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, just pray that we will take encouragement in the exhortation that he delivered to the church in Thessalonica, and that we would draw that encouragement so that we could go forward as well and bring honor and glory to your great name. So we ask that the message would be one that would give you the glory and the honor, and that would edify, encourage, and equip the saints for the work of service. And I ask this through you, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. Amen. All right, so Paul writes two letters to Thessalonians, and they're believed to have been written when he was in Corinth. So the information about Thessalonica in the book of Acts is contained in chapter 17, and then in chapter 18 is the beginning of Paul's time in Corinth. So it's interesting. There's some parallels if you read the first 14 verses of Acts 17 and you read into the early part of Acts 18, you'll see that he's writing a letter to the Thessalonians who are under persecution, both the first letter, which is really a letter of that you're doing well. The second letter, when we get to chapter 3, everything's great, but he's going to talk about a few things that have crept in the verses that follow our text that need to be addressed, okay? And so while he's in Corinth, he's undergoing persecution as well. And the main group who is persecuting in Thessalonica and in Corinth is the same main group. It's the Jews. Okay, so having said that, if artificial intelligence is scraping the internet, they probably just shut down this message and it's not streaming anymore on the internet. You know, because they say, oh, he's going to say something anti-Semitic. You know, you guys laugh, but you should talk to Jay sometime about that. He didn't say something about Jews in particular, just he made mention of some information that is out there about the topic of the vaccines. We'll leave it at that so that they don't shut down this message and stop it from streaming. But they shut it down while he was talking about some of the things that went into the making of the vaccine, just boom, shut down his message. And they were on Facebook Live, just immediately, boom, shut it down. So, you know, and Mr. Tool this morning in his message said, you know, I'm not trying to scare you, but here's what's going on in Canada. You know, if you say something they don't like and it's deemed to be hate speech, it could be a life sentence for you. And when you ask, well, what's hate speech? They said, don't worry, after you say it, we'll tell you. So it's a total entrapment type of a situation where they can use their gauge of what they think is hate speech and persecute you for it. I mean, so we're starting to see the things that we've read so often in the Bible, and we go, wow, I wonder what, you know, so thankful we've never had to live under that type of situation. Brethren, we are rapidly moving into that. And we, you know, and so, you know, I'm with Nolan, as he mentioned this morning. I'm not intentionally trying to scare you or anything tonight by saying this, but I'm trying to tell you, you need to get ready. There's things coming. Okay, you just need to get ready for what's coming. So these kind of verses and the background of why they were written, penned by the Apostle Paul as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, are really key to the Thessalonians finishing the job, okay? And it's going to be key to us finishing our job in our day, because the persecution is coming. You know, I never thought, well, years ago, I'd have been surprised if you'd have told me things that are going on in America right now. If you'd have told me 30 years ago things that are going on right now are going to happen, I'd have said, you're crazy. It just won't happen. This is America. America. You know, well, it's here. Okay? So, you know, we just need to have that kind of background, because there's some similarities going on there when Paul's penning this to the Thessalonians and what he's personally enduring in the area of Corinth. So, you know, just having an understanding. Now, finally, you know, I always try and tell you, you know, some things about the Greek or whatever. And finally, here is the Greek word. It's loipoi. It'd be like if we were going to spell it in English, it'd be L-O-I-P-O-I. Loipoi. And it's a masculine plural form of a word, okay? And this is what it really means. What remains? The rest. Or the remainder, or it's translated twice in the book of Romans as remnant. So now you can go, oh yeah, what remains? The remnant is what remains, right? You guys all with me? Have I lost you yet? Okay. So that's what this really means. When we see the term finally, in every single passage I'm going to talk about, or get the opportunity to bring a message about, it's the same word. And so it's talking about what remains. So there's usually some information that's been passed along in a previous context. And he says, now let's talk about what remains that I need to address. So that's going to be what you'll see as the pattern as we go through these messages. Okay? So you could say to yourself, verse 3b, okay, pertaining what remains, brethren, kind of like that is the concept that would be communicated to those that were reading this in the Greek. Pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. And then we went on through our verses. Okay, so you can look at this three verses and go, okay, here's a handy, you know. And I've always liked the way that Rick Vaught has done messages, you know, the three-point message, you know. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you said you were going to tell them, and tell them what you told them. Okay, Rick. You know, so it's a good way of doing it. It's repetition. It's reminder, right? But like a three-point message, you could look, okay, so we got pray, for progress, for protection, right? See how I used three P's there? Pray in verse 1. Why? We want the word of God, the gospel to spread rapidly. Progress, right? And while that progress is going out, there's going to be opposition, so we need protection, right? We could do that. But instead, we're going to do three O's. Oh, say, can you see? The opportunity for me. There's your first one, opportunity. You're all going, why do you sing that? So you'd listen. Okay? So the opportunity, then what does the opportunity present? A potential outcome, right? An outcome. So when Lorenzo makes that prayer request virtually every Wednesday when he's here and he makes it, he's looking for an outcome, isn't he? Hey, we need to pray that the word will spread rapidly. What's the outcome? We need to get people converted. Amen? That's the outcome. And then what's the other thing that's going to happen when we're engaged in the opportunity looking for the outcome? opposition. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. It's always been the same. So that's the three things that we look are going to draw from this passage tonight. Okay, so the opportunity. And we notice that the first thing Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord. Notice he's not saying just pray for us and it stops there. He says, I want your prayers for the word to go forth. So it's not so much for him, although he is a beneficiary of those prayers, indirectly, so to speak, if the prayers are for the word to go forward, right? So he says, pray for us. The focus is depending on God's power. Remember, this is an apostle. Sometimes we forget that this guy could just go out with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's amazing things he could do, couldn't he? I'll just raise a few people over here, and I'll heal a few over there. Instead, he's telling the church, pray for me. He says, yeah, these things I can do that can, you know, kind of be, you know, arresting in a way to the people that see them and really go, whoa. But he says, the real power is if you get together and pray to the Lord so that he will make available the opportunity at every opportunity. And the outcome will come through the Lord. Remember, some of us plant, some of us water, and who causes the increase? That's the outcome. So he's saying, pray when the opportunity comes. The Lord is going to control that outcome in some way. So if you got a bunch of opposition, persecution, you're barely able to stand in a public place and say anything or deal with people one-on-one. You got just all kinds of persecution, opposition being shouted down, which is that not the way that most of the opponents of whatever agenda today deal with those that they disagree with? They shout them down, right? Stand up in the back of a hallway and yell at somebody trying to just deliver some information on a topic that they've been brought in to speak about, particularly in our institutions of higher learning. You know, that's what happens. If they don't want to hear it, they just stand back and disrupt the thing so nobody gets to hear it. That's exactly what they were doing in the book of Acts. Where do you think they get their methodology from, brethren? I've told you for years and years, everything that's going on is stolen from the Bible. The methodology, I mean, these guys aren't stupid, you know. They know what they're doing. So we need to pray. And, you know, he says, we want to pray that the gospel will have free run. That word there, spread rapidly, is actually the word that means run hastily, literally, run hastily. So it unencumbered. Just let it run. Let it run. So that's, you know, that what we want to think about. Now, when Paul pens this, you know, being a good Pharisee and understanding the scripture and, of course, always being able to tweak it and make it a little bit more restrictive, the Pharisees were good at doing that. At least they had an understanding of Old Testament passages in particular. Let's turn to, this is interesting. Turn to Psalm 147. Just notice something here. You know, a lot of things that we read in the New Testament, brethren, if you're involved in a reading program of some sort, I want to really, really encourage you to do that. You start to notice, saying, hey, this sounds vaguely familiar. You know, in the New Testament, what, this sounds like a concept. Where did I read that? And you find out, wow, it's back here in the Old Testament. Check this out in Psalm 147. Let's go to verse 12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. I wonder who that would be. Praise your God, O Zion. You guys go, I know he went here. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly, runs rapidly. I wonder why Paul would have penned that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the word would run rapidly, spread rapidly. Huh, there it is. Isn't that amazing? He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. Pray. Pray, right? Pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly. O Jerusalem, O Zion. That's why I appreciate very much that every Wednesday when Lorenzo is here, he tries to make that request. How critical is it that we're praying for others? You know, maybe you don't have as many studies. You know, well, maybe there's somebody else that's got opportunities. Pray that those opportunities are made available. I'm sure, you know, Jared would probably say, hey, I got enough right now. Slow down. Take your prayers over to Lorenzo. I know Jared's very busy with a lot of studies right now. Praise God, right? Praise God, right? All right, so we want to understand. The focus is on the gospel message. The focus is we pray for the opportunity, right? And we want to make sure that our prayers are having an effect on the spread and the free run of the gospel. We need to understand we are working with God and one another to get this thing done. You know, and then the other thing that we've done in the past that has worked effectively is when we've been very earnest and we've actually prayed and fasted for the lost. I remember when we really got engaged this many years back, boy, we had some pretty massive growth. I'm telling you, Bible studies started coming everywhere. Everywhere. So the day of fasting, prayer and fasting, is also important for us to understand. I just want to take that opportunity because we engage in that. I don't know if we did it today, next week, whatever, but normally it's today. Doesn't matter if you fasted or not. I'm just telling you, that's another way you get God's attention individually and congregationally, okay? So that we can make sure that the word will spread rapidly, okay? So, all right, so the power of the gospel united with the power of prayer seems like it's pretty effective, right, Lorenzo? It's really effective. It's really effective. So, you know, God's constantly challenging us. Do you believe that praying to me will provide the best result? You know, so we've hammered it in this congregation for years, and I give Jared credit. He's the one that set this and pushed it. Do we see prayer as our first resource, not a last resort? You know, so just keep that in mind when you're thinking in the morning and you wake up, your eyes open up. I usually pray before I go to sleep at night. And I usually pray right after I get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for the day ahead. You know, and then I start thinking about all the things I want to pray about. I pray for the advancement of the gospel and the increase of his kingdom, right? It's going to fill the earth like a mountain. That's one of my prayers I say every now and again. Fill this earth like your mountain, like a spiritual mountain with your, you know, that's a great prayer, right? It's a great prayer. It's not trying to boast. I'm just saying these are ideas of things you can do, all right? That is right in line with the exhortation that Paul's given the Thessalonians here in chapter 3. So what's the outcome of the gospel? Well, it's right there in verse 1 as well. You want to pray for the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be what? Glorified just as with you. What's the outcome? Well, we want people to be converted. When they're converted, the word of the Lord is, right, glorified because you have listened to the word and responded to it. Or someone listens to the word and responds to it. He's glorified by that. Faith comes by hearing. Amen? Yeah, faith comes by hearing. All right. So the proof's in the pudding. See, now here's another thing that I find interesting. Let's go to Acts 13 real quick. This is Sergius Paulus. And I like the way he's described here. Sometimes we don't catch this verse and then go all the way through the context to the end and understand what really got this guy. I mean, it says it, but you don't really recognize it till you slow down and read this. So this is when Paul is, you know, he's on his first missionary journey, right? And they get to Cyprus and they're going through the cities. You get to verse 7. Let's just pick it up there. Well, verse 6. When they had gone through the whole island, Cyprus, okay, as far as Paphos, right, and he's with Barnabas at this time, they found a magician. Look who it is, a Jewish false prophet. These guys show up everywhere. I mean, the Jews. Isn't that what it says? Did I put that in there? A Jewish false prophet. Not just a Jewish false prophet. Whose name was Bar-Jesus. Oh, boy. That ever hit you? Isn't that ironic? What's his name, son of Jesus? What? Sometimes I just go, Lord, this is too good. You get a great sense of humor. Okay? Who he allows to come into contact and leave this is a permanent record for us. Who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence? This is a guy who can piece things together. That's actually what that word means in intelligence. You take things and you piece it together. So we talk about connecting the dots, don't we? Have you connected the dots? You know, this is a man of intelligence. That's what it means. He can connect the dots. Brethren, I was searching for the connection to the dots for years before I finally became a Christian. I was trying to figure it out. Here comes Paul and Barnabas, boom. They have this whole interaction with Elymas, the magician, and all this, and this Bar Jesus guy. And let's drop down for the sake of time, and let's just look at verse 11. Okay, so Paul says, guy, you are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil. It's okay to call someone every now and again a son of the devil. I've been called the son of the devil. I have, by a couple of Mormon girls, but I was called the son of the devil. Something like that. But anyway, I've been called a sheep stealer. That's a great name. I love it. Sheep stealer, huh? Okay. So anyway, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you'll be blind and not see the sun for a time. Immediately a mist and the darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed. Why? When he saw what had happened, what? Being amazed at the teaching. Remember, this is a guy who's piecing things together. Now do you see why, when you understand what intelligent means and you read verse 12, how everything kind of goes click, click, rather than going, well, why wasn't he kind of drawn by the whole kind of miraculous thing where Paul says, and it happens, you know, you no longer see, you're going to be missing darkness. And you'd think that'd be the thing that the guy would go, whoa. But isn't it interesting? In verse 12, he says he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord through Paul. Man of intelligence. I want to put the dots together. Is this thing real? Is this true? What's going on here? Bing, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You guys see that? See, when you read, does that kind of open that up a little bit to you? You go, oh, that does make sense. Right? So, just wanted to share that with you. So, you know, what I'm saying is, what is the outcome of the gospel? We're looking for people that are honest, you know, and can, they're looking to tie things together. What does that mean? I'm looking for truth. I can't figure this out. Why does this not work? Why does this not line up? Somebody please connect the dots. You know, how many people stand and go, I just don't get what's going on in America today. I just don't get it. I mean, it's bad. But we can connect the dots for them, can't we? Yeah, we can. We can show them exactly what's happening, why things are where they're at. And explain to him, hey, this is all a plan. You know, and Satan's behind it. Okay, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Sorry. So, faith comes by hearing. Glorified, just as it was with the Thessalonians. Talked about somebody like Sergius Paulus. Interesting. So, it's the same thing that happened with the Thessalonians as is recorded in chapter 1 of... I wanted to stop 1 Thessalonians, sorry. Chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. We see the same thing with this group of people that become Christians in this town. Paul talking about the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. These are the Thessalonians that have made a name for themselves because they're now preaching the word, aren't they? All right? By the way, there's some that would say only evangelists and should be responsible for preaching the word and getting it out. You're going to hear that every now and again. Notice that it's the church in Thessalonica that the message is sounded forth from them. Not Paul the evangelist. Okay? In Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth. Look how influential they were. That the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and be glorified. We already got a record of it, don't we? In chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians 1. So that we have no need to say anything. Verse 9, for they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you. These are the other places that Thessalonians had an impact on, are reporting to them what kind of reception we had with you. These guys are saying this is what Paul's impact on us was. Okay, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. Connect the dots. Ding. I'm going to tell everybody this is real. Right? Right. So it's the miracle of the completed word, right, preserved, which we can present to anybody, and they can scrutinize it, can't they? And go, oh, wow, this makes sense. It makes sense, right? So that's the outcome of the gospel. Let's talk about the opposition. Okay, the opposition, like I told you, was from in Thessalonica. It was primarily the Jews, but they came and they did a rent-a-mob program and got them all fired up. And so it was mostly Jews with a fired-up mob to persecute the Thessalonians and try and shut the word of God from being spread, right? And in Corinth, if you read chapter 18 Acts, it's the Jews who go before the guy there and say, hey, man, these guys are doing things they shouldn't be doing. He said, you know, if it was something other than your guys' law, I might have something to do. Get away from the seat. Get back. Kicking the Jews back, right? Get away from me, right? That's in Acts 18. So it's the Jews that are doing it. But it says here in verse 2, and that we will be rescued. That's the word that a lot of times will also be translated delivered, okay? That we'll be delivered or rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have the faith. Now, that statement, I think, is there because of what's going to follow in the context after these verses. The faith, okay? Because there's going to be guys that have come in, and now they've got them upset about, did we miss the Lord's return? You know, did we somehow miss that? You know, and oh, if we missed it and he's already back, why bother working? You know, let's just mooch off everybody. You know, these are a couple things that show up in the following context, the verses following, see? So I think that's part of why that's in there. But he says, for not all have faith. So there's not just a problem within or without the congregation that's causing the issue that could stop the word from spreading rapidly. There's some problems starting to accrue within the church in Thessalonica that have to do with some false doctrine that was creating some character issues within the body. Okay? But let's just talk about perverse and evil men. We'll be rescued from perverse and evil men. Those two words, perverse. Okay, that word perverse. And again, I like to look at these because I'm trying to get a deeper understanding. What is this that's going on? What does perverse mean here? I have an idea of what I think perverse means. But the goal is we're always trying to let the Bible interpret itself, right? So it was written in Greek, so I'm going to go get the basic idea of what this word means and see if I can get anything more out of this passage. Says they will be rescued from perverse and evil men. Let's talk about perverse. Perverse is the Greek word atopos, okay? And all that literally means is something that's out of place. It comes from a word that means a location, a space, right? A position, but it's out of place. You put an A in front of a word, topos, put an A, it means not in place, out of place. So you'll see it also translated wrong. If you're not in the right place, you're in the wrong place. I should have been right place, but I was in the wrong time. Should have been right. You know, that's an old song by, you guys don't know it, but that's, you know. Just try, look, these work. You guys remember these things. You do. When I get up here and do all this funny stuff, you guys are, hey, I remember when you, cool. You remember what the scripture said, all right? So that's what it means. Improperly, it's improper or out of place. So you'll see it translated that way as well. There's a couple of verses I'll give you. We're not going to look at them. You can look at where it just is translated wrong in Luke 23:41 and Acts 25:5. I had them here, but for sake of time, I'm not going to. Now, perverse men are going to twist and contort the message, right? Or not understand the message so that it doesn't have its intended effect. They're in the wrong. Okay, what was the problem with the Jews? They were in the wrong place. I don't mean they were Thessalonica. They were in the wrong place in God's view, weren't they? You're in the wrong place there, Jews. You're supposed to, I gave you all this stuff you should check out, that Jesus is the fulfillment of all those prophecies, all this information I'm giving you, all this stuff that's been revealed through the apostles. You should be not there, but you should understand I've given you all kinds of clues that's going to change things. You should be over here where they are. You're in the wrong place. You're out of place. You know, that's what he's trying to, that's all this is. So guys that are in the wrong place or out of place, they're going to obviously be in opposition to where you are, right? So maybe that's a little simplistic, but so it comes from an improper perspective. That's what I'm trying to drive home. Okay, what happens in the churches, or what's happened to Christianity in general? There's people that have they're in the wrong place, the wrong perspective, because they're looking at things, and this was touched by this morning by Nolan as well, they're looking at things physically, aren't they? Rather than spiritually. I always read, may God, give you all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There it is. He tells right there in Colossians, spiritual wisdom and understanding is what I'm supposed to have. Okay. That's a big clue, But they miss it, don't they? So we need to understand that that's what perverse men. And it isn't like we would think, think of a pervert in your own mind. Don't share it with anybody, but that's not what it is. It's just people that are in the wrong position, different than what we would say something perverse is or a pervert is, okay? The way we understand it. So I thought that was interesting to me when I look into this. Evil men, now this word, paneros, in the Greek, actually means that these are guys whose very intention is to cause harm. Now that sounds like what those guys ran into with the Jews, doesn't it? Evil men, they're causing harm. They're doing whatever they can to create harm, not only to the message, but to the messengers. Brethren, that's the root. Again, Nolan brought it up, and I told you when I was up front leading songs, I said, what about commandment? I'm going to remind you guys about this every time I'm up front, and I didn't forget that I said that. There are things coming, and we need to get our eyes open, pull our head out of the sand. There's no more ignoring it. Get ready. Get yourself solidified. Draw into the assemblies as often as you can. Build those relationships. Be ready for whatever may come. I don't know what's coming. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet. But I'm telling you, things are coming. And we can't just kind of roll our head back, oh, here goes Kevin again. It's coming. Okay? So, and I'm not a doomsdayer. We win! Thank you for putting that up, Stacy. We win! But in the interim, we're going to have opposition, aren't we? How are we going to face it? Are we going to trust the Lord who's faithful and allow him to strengthen and protect us from the evil one? Who hinders all this stuff? Well, you can read who does the hindering in 1 Thessalonians 2. You can read 14 through 18. For time, I'm just going to give you kind of an idea. It says it's the Jews that were hindering, all right, and Satan that were hindering the message. So, but everything's driven by Satan. So he's trying to hinder this thing. He's trying to shut it down. I know this is repetition. You guys hear it a lot from up front, but it's good to be reminded again, right? No problem for me. It's a safeguard for you, is what Paul said to Philippians. All right. So there are going to be a lot of people that are going to reject this, right? Our problem today isn't the Jews per se. What do we call themselves, Jews? All right. Our problem is what I would just call secularists in general. Just they don't want anything religious in the culture at all. They want to abolish it all. Okay? And at this point, we're the softest target in their mind because we're the least resistant from a physical standpoint. Christians just don't fight back. They don't pick up arms, go start shooting people for, blaspheming the name of Christ. They just don't. Unlike other religions, will actually kill people for blaspheming their leadership or their prophet or whatever. We don't. That's not a characteristic of the church, all right? So, not all have the faith. And I'm going to kind of wrap this up as quick as I can here. That was the one question Jesus asked in Luke 18:8, right? He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on you? Not a faith, the faith. The only way he's going to find is if we stand strong, right? If no matter what comes our way as we're getting this message out, that we believe that God is faithful, the Lord is faithful. What did Nolan say this morning? Who are we going to look to? Who are we going to look to? So you can see how this kind of dovetails with his message from this morning. And I didn't know what his message was going to be this morning. I had this planned from a while ago, this very first message. It just, whoop. It's amazing how God knows what needs to be said, and he puts things together, and the assembly gets to hear it two or three or four times in a given Lord's Day. Isn't that amazing? I think the Lord's faithful. Okay? All right, so what do we need to do? Expect God's faithfulness, expect his strength, expect his protection. That's what we should expect, as long as we can get the message out. Doesn't mean some of us aren't going to fall by the wayside, but we operate like we've got that. Correct? Okay. Making sure that we got to... Okay. So, like I say, Paul protected him against his enemies in opposition, and you can look at that in Acts 18, like I referenced earlier. So, the rescue from opposition comes how? Preaching the word. Pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, and that we'd not suffer anything harmful. And oh, it's not in there. Right? So that we will be rescued. He says, we're going to run right into that. Just help us to go through it, not be taken around it, but to go through it. So we're going to have to go through things. Okay? So let's fulfill the purpose. I want to just finish this message off real quickly. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's talk about you guys. This is positive, by the way. Very positive. So we need to pray for each other as we seek opportunity. Right? And I can be known up here. Yes? Yes? Okay. All right. We need to entrust the outcome to the word. Yes? Okay. Okay. I like that about you, Nolan. It's great. And then Mike, I watch too. I'm throwing myself off. Opportunity. Outcome, expect opposition, right? We need to expect it. It's not going to be as easy as it has been. It's not going to be. Okay? And we know there's perverse and evil men. So, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. I'm going to just change one word so I can say this to you guys. For this reason, I also... And this should be everyone, put your own name, think of yourself as I'm saying this. I also, for this reason, I also constantly thank God that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from whomever, Paul says to the Thessalonians, from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. I praise you guys because in you, if the Lord were to come tonight, tomorrow, this week, he will find the faith on the earth. I praise you guys. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful again for the word that you have preserved, which we can study. And really the key is to receive it implanted and so evident to me what it can do, particularly this weekend as we saw how all the young people ingested this word over the last several months and then were ready to go as they were challenged for what your word says. It just really is amazing how well they did. Just so thankful that we have things like that set up within your body, Lord, to help to develop the young people and their understanding and their ability to grasp and retain your words. Yes, we know this is an open book test that you've made it available to us. It's written down. I'm deeply, deeply thankful for that. But just so appreciative that we can receive it, each of us individually, and implant it, and it will save our souls. And then we can read it and see that you've always been so upfront with us and honest about how this is going to work. In the face of so many out there that lie to people and tell them that it's going to be nothing but health, wealth, and happiness, and we know that just is not the record that has been presented in your word. Yes, we'll have great spiritual health if we're in the word, Lord. You know, and spiritual wealth that comes from that as well. And happiness is truly in you, Lord. But if we think somehow we can take that and move it into the physical realm and derive those results, oh, we'll be woefully wrong. So Lord, just thankful again for the body of Christ here in Billings, for the opportunity to just be a part of working with this group, and just thankful again for each and every one. Pray that you would bless us and carry us safely from here to our homes and help us to appreciate and enjoy every day you give us, understanding that your return is to be announced, but we're ready. So thank you again, Lord, for all things. It comes to us through you, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, and it is in your name we pray and give thanks. Amen.